Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, a special guest speaker presents his teaching in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Well, good morning, Horizon. Bill and Vi and Brett are on vacation, and they send their love. We've got the privilege this morning, though, of Pastor Joe Mann and his wife Tammy are here to share. He pastors up in South Bend, and he is part of a human trafficking ministry called Destiny Rescue. And so I wanted to let just parents know, Joe does a really good job of sharing about human trafficking and all that, but it is there are some intense aspects of it. So just a fair warning for you guys to do with what you want. But with that, I would love to introduce Pastor Joe, and you guys, welcome. And it's a huge blessing to have him here, so thanks.
It's great to be here today. If you have your Bibles with you, please open your Bible to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30, that's in the about halfway through the Old Testament. In my Bible, it's page 267. 1 Samuel chapter 30, as was mentioned, my wife and I, we are affiliated working with an organization called Destiny Rescue. And Destiny Rescue goes into different countries, different places, and rescues children who are being enslaved, exploited, and abused on a day-to-day basis. And today we're going to do a Bible study out of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it's my prayer and my hope that in spite of the difficulty of the topic that I'm bringing to you today, that you can gain and you can glean some great points out of this passage. So I'm kind of weaving two points, two messages. And so my prayer, even as I've been coming here, preparing to come, was just that God would bless you. I know that God wants to encourage you. Today's message is called What to Do on the Worst Day of Your Life. The most difficult time of your life. I'm sure there's some of you here who have gone through some form of difficulty, some form of hardship, and it comes in different ways, doesn't it? It might be in the middle of a doctor's appointment, the news that you get, the most difficult day of your life begins. It might be from a phone call. It might be from words that are spoken to you. It might be something that you read, but there are different ways that we encounter the most difficult day of our lives. This passage is a good example. The man David, King David, he's not king yet, and he's got like 600 guys that have joined to him. This is a man who had been anointed king almost 15 years prior to this, but yet he hadn't walked into the full realization of his position, his responsibility, and his calling as king. And he's actually running from the other king, King Saul, who's trying to kill him, trying to destroy him. And in the midst of this, he's doing other things, engaging in other battles with different groups that are trying to rob and pillage in different areas of Judah and Jerusalem. And so in the midst of this, in chapter 29, David is coming back from a battle. And so we're going to jump in chapter 30, verse 1, and we're going to see that he and his army are coming back home. It says in verse 1 of chapter 30, "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Verse 4, then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep." Father, we just thank you for your great grace here today, and we just pray that you would bless this time. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you are good and that you are merciful and kind and compassionate. We pray your blessings upon this time, upon this Bible study, upon the information that's going to go forth here, and that you would just encourage hearts. We pray for those in this room that might be experiencing difficulty right now, And we just ask that you would saturate them, God, with your presence, anoint them, minister, encourage, do a sovereign, supernatural work. We just pray that you'd bless this time and bless your word. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So here in verse 4, we have the fact that they wept. They cried. What would you do? Imagine if you were coming home, and as you're driving down the street, you notice the area where your house was is nothing but a pile of ashes. And then you begin to question, where's my spouse? Where's my kids? And you go there and you find out actually that they've been abducted. And then you find out that this is going on and it's happened to many of your neighbors, and then your neighbors are blaming you for this tragedy that's taken place in your neighborhood, and they are actually trying to think about ways to kill you. And then you find out that the FBI and some other agencies have seized all of your accounts, and you have nothing, and here you are, you've come home to the worst day of your life. And that's what happened to David. David came home, and all of this had taken place. Now, if you notice in the story here in verse 2, that these Amalekites had taken the women and the children, and it says, it emphasizes that they didn't kill them, but they were going to take them, and what were they going to do with them? They were going to enslave them. And so from the beginning of the Bible till now, and it's even recorded in the book of Revelation, that evil people will buy and use people as a commodity. And this is taking place in our earth, on the earth here today. Trafficking facts, there are approximately 30 million slaves in the world today. This is more than at any other time in the history of mankind. And it's happening everywhere. It's happening right here in Indianapolis on different levels. And part of my job is to just expose a little bit and make you aware of these things. 80% of the trafficking involves the exploitation and forced prostitution and abuse of women and children and men. 19% involves forced labor. Every 26 seconds, right now during this service, dozens and dozens of kids will be taken and forced into exploitation, horrible situations. In the United States of America, we've been blessed greatly to grow up, to live in what many would say is the greatest country in the history of mankind, because we were founded in with a Judeo-Christian philosophy, so that today even non-Christians, non-Christian agencies are trying to incorporate and implement a biblical answer to horrible situations. So literally there are billions of dollars in the United States that are being spent to try to stop human trafficking. And I previously had worked with the Child Protective Services before I got involved with Destiny Rescue, and you see it on so many different levels. And in America, as you become educated, as you become aware, the simple thing that we have is if you see something, you can just call 911. But in the rest of the world, the majority of the world, I should say, they don't have a 911. They don't have that blessing, that there are police, that there are different things that you can contact that will actually make a difference. Many of the countries that we work in, many times the police work in collaboration with the traffickers in certain situations. And so it's a horrible network to have to work through and get involved. Human trafficking is a global problem. It's the fastest growing illegal enterprise in our world today, bringing over $150 billion a year. It affects virtually every country. 93% of all the trafficking in the world happens in the developing world, which would be third world countries. Now, back to our story here. In verse 6, we find this situation where David, it says, is greatly distressed. And that's an understatement. You imagine, put yourself in this story. And as you think about people out there also who have been abducted and are taken into situations against their will, they're being forced to do unspeakable things. It's overwhelming. And so it says the people, his men, the families, that were left thought of stoning David because of the soul of the people were grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. So in the context of your own life, in the context of your own journey, I would encourage you, friend, that after you've wept, after you've encountered your difficulty, don't stay there weeping. You know, I know of individuals I've counseled over the years. You can find them still after 10 years, still at the stage where they encountered their pain, and they become just almost wrapped around in their pain and they don't get out of it. Now, God is here, my friend, to help you out of the pain. It doesn't make it all go away necessarily, but yet he gives you the grace and the strength to grow from it. And in the context of that, you don't want to become bitter. How many of you have ever entered into the blame game? When you start getting in pain or whatever, and you start pointing at your spouse, your kids, your boss, your somebody else, and instead of just saying, okay, this is my place of what I can do to make a difference. And so what the next step is, David, it says he strengthened himself in the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And so you and I are responsible, not the government, not your parents, not your family, not your neighborhood, of taking care of the condition of your heart. And so we have an opportunity. That's why you came to church today, hopefully, so that the condition of your heart could be encouraged and built up and blessed. One of the greatest things about being a part of a church like this is the value that is placed upon the Word of God. So when you come to the Word of God, it's affecting your heart and helping you make good choices. So we see here in verse 6, David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord. David strengthened himself, or he encouraged himself in God. And so again, that's another step that you and I have an opportunity to do. We take the time and prioritize our walk with God, our growing in God. It's your responsibility. You are, I've heard it said, you're as close to God right now, my friend, as you want to be. And that's a hard thing to hear sometimes, but yet that's it. God is there with his arms open, and he wants us to come. And so he's not putting up barriers or anything. It's the world, the flesh, the devil, things like that that are trying to hinder us. So David, in the midst of his grief, in the midst of his heartache, he strengthened himself in the Lord. In 1 Samuel, it says that the Lord sought after a man after God's own heart. And that's, it's repeated again in the book of Acts, that David was known as a man after God's own heart. Oftentimes I think that when it's all said and done and I stand before God at the end of the day, that's what I want to hear, that I was a man after God's own heart. Well done, good and faithful servant, you know. That's what motivated David and helped him through this journey. So one of the things, let me encourage you in this, my friend, you can prepare yourself now for a future difficulty. It's just like lifting weights or the training that football players go through. They go through extensive training so that when the real game is on and they hit and they have these collisions, they're prepared physically to not be hurt as bad, maybe. You know, I don't know if you've ever watched some of those collisions and you're like, whoa, that's serious. So we go through life, we experience God, we experience his presence, and he encourages us. And so then when a difficulty does happen, like this guy here, he's 15 years into this journey in the wilderness, and the worst day happens. Number 7, or verse 7, look here, it says that he called upon a guy named Abiathar, and he asked for the linen ephod. And this linen ephod was something that the priest would wear when they would seek God. And he went and he sought God, and he got a word from God. So there's a thing here, my friend, that in this book teaches you about a lot of things. You want to know how to have a great marriage? Consult this book. You want to know how to manage your finances? Consult this book. You want to know how to be a good parent or a boss or anything like that? Consult this book. But this book won't tell you if you have option A, option B, or option C. It won't tell you necessarily which to choose. It won't tell you whether you should work for this company or that company, or if you should move here or if you should move there. You need a personal word, a direction, a guidance from God. And so that's what David did in this situation. He got a word from the Lord. And notice in verse 8, David asks the Lord, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered and said, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them without fail, recover all." And so when we hear the word of the Lord, it's what builds faith. We come to church and we want to hear the word of God to encourage us, to motivate us, to build our faith, this resource pool. It's like the cups of water or coffee that you have. You go and you get a refill. And so then it fills it up. But then guess what? It's just like the tanks on your car. You drive it for a certain period of time. This light flashes on and it says you got to go get more. And so too, the working of the Spirit, the working of the Word of God is something that has got to be constantly coming and being replenished into our lives. Verse 9, work or walk with others. The body of Christ is just that. It's not a group of lone rangers doing independent stuff. As our brother mentioned about the children's ministry, you know, that is one of the most important ministries there is in this church. And I know you know that, and I don't want to lay a guilt trip on you, but I just encourage you, whether you like doing it or don't like doing it, I think it's something as a sacrifice, as a fragrant offering to the Lord, that you can step in and be used of God to plant seeds. My wife and I, we've been involved in planting a church up in South Bend, and she rolled up her sleeves, and she doesn't want to do kids ministry, but somebody needed to step in there that was consistent, and boom, she stepped in, and God has blessed that tremendously, because she said, you know, here's a need and I'm going to step in and I'm going to serve. And so I just encourage you, as you work together, as you walk this journey together, you're going to have a great impact and you're going to be able to strengthen and encourage one another through this journey. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner or the habit of some." It's so easy to prioritize traveling this or doing that. And there's nothing wrong with some of that, but yet when it totally takes the place of assembling with the body of Christ, there's a problem. God didn't intend that. God intends for us to network and connect and love and serve and grow together. Verse 11, be humble. God can do the unexpected to help you. Notice, as these guys, these men are traveling, they had come to this place in the journey where the 600 are going, 200 of them are just so exhausted that they can't go any farther because they had been traveling already for days to get home and then their stuff is all burned up. So they stop at this place, and as they go forward, they're trying to find these Amalekites, and they come across an Egyptian slave who was there in the field. And this Egyptian was so sick that his master, who was one of the Amalekites, just left him there because he's like, you know, you're holding us up, so we're going to leave you here to die. And God ended up using this sick, ailing Egyptian slave to help him find guidance onto the next stage and step in the journey. And so as I was studying this, looking at it, it made me think about, you know, just being humble and not thinking too highly of yourself in whatever way that God can't use people. You know, God's used my little daughter many times to speak to me. Has anybody ever had your kid speak something profound to you? And you're like, wow, that was pretty profound. And so God does these things. And so just stay humble and allow God to teach you in the process of your journey. The next thing, or here in 1 Peter, it says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you." How many of you believe that? That as I cast my care upon the Lord, that he will help me. He'll deal with these issues, but in his time. I know many times I want it to be solved right now, right? I want it to be solved yesterday. But sometimes God's timing is different, and God uses that experience to help you and me grow. Verse 16, remember, God is bigger than your problem. When they had brought him down, it says, there they were, spread out all over the land, eating, drinking, and dancing. So I can imagine this in my mind's eye. Here's 400 of these band of David's mighty men coming up, and they come over this hill, and there they were, all these Amalekites, thousands of them, partying, having a good time with all of the pillage and the plunder that they've taken and stolen. There's all these enslaved people that are out there. Now, if that was me, you know, you're so tired, you're so exhausted in the journey, and you've got God's word that, yeah, God said he's going to give you all of this promise, but I don't know if you've ever been like me. You got a word from the Lord in a particular situation, but then as the going got tough, maybe on the other side of it, you started second-guessing yourself, and you're saying, did I really hear from God? Is this really God's plan? Planting a church up in South Bend, I've done it 100 times, I'm telling you. You know, I'm like, is this really God's plan? Why did God do it this way, you know? And that's a natural thing. And so I can see David, they're cresting this hill and they're like, oh my, I didn't realize there were going to be so many. What do I do? How do I deal with this? He had to stand in what God had already promised. It's like this, remote. If I take it and I tape it to my glasses, pretty soon the only thing I can see is this remote because I've allowed this to become larger than what it's supposed to be. And so too, I can allow my problems to become so great big that God shrinks. Now, God doesn't shrink in his size, but it's my perception of God. And so the Bible teaches you and me, friends, to magnify God. So we worship, we get into the word, and it builds our faith. And we're like, yeah, God can do this. If God can do that for David in this situation, then guess what? God can do that for me. And that's why stories in the book of Corinthians, the Bible says that these stories from the Old Testament were written for our good so that we might grow and that we might mature in him. So remember that God is bigger than your problems. Let me go back to this and stop for a second. There have been times in my journey in dealing with the whole human trafficking issue. I've sat in my own living room or in my house and just wept because I'm like, this is so horrible and it's so big. How can we stop it? What can we do? And the Lord keeps reminding me that, you know, he cares. You can be a voice for the voiceless, and every individual, every one counts. Destiny Rescue this year has rescued almost 350 kids and over 3,000 some kids since our inception. And we go into these dark places, difficult places, and send undercover agents, as it were, into these places to build trust with these kids. Because most of these kids have never met an individual that they can trust in their lives. And so everybody's lied to them, abused them, and done all kinds of things to exploit them. And then so we walk in and say, you know, let me show you on my phone here a picture of a place where all these other kids are hanging out and it's all good. And so that doesn't work that way, and it takes a while to build trust. And every single kid matters to God. The founder of our organization, about 17 years ago, he was walking down the streets in Thailand, and a person came up to him to try to sell him a 10-year-old little girl. And he was just shocked that something like that could even go on. And so he began to do research, and he found out that Thailand and that part of the world is just prolific in the exploitation of children. And he began to pray and he wanted God to do something. And the Spirit spoke to him and said, what would you do if you found out somebody was trying to sell one of your daughters? This guy had 3 daughters. And he's like, you know, I would do anything. I'd try to tear through that wall. And then the Lord spoke back to him and says, these kids don't have anybody who will speak for them. What will you do? And so that's how Destiny Rescue got started. And they begin to recruit individuals to come in and to go to these places. Destiny Rescue is one of the few organizations I know of at this point in time that actually goes to places to get kids out of the situations they're in. But we have to remember that God is bigger than the problem. I remember one day reading a startling statistic that 98% of the kids who are in other parts of the world are never going to be rescued. And it just broke my heart and I just cried. To think, you know, I got a 16-year-old daughter, and what would you do? What would you do if that was your kid? What would you do if it was one of the kids in the youth ministry? What would you do if it was one of your neighbor's kids? You would do something. And so that provoked me in the midst of the process to say, God, you know, as David is doing here in the story, I want to do something. I want to make a difference. The next step was move forward in faith. David stepped out. He sees this thing, and it says that he attacked. It says in verse 17, he attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. So this is like 24 more hours of fighting. So after all the stuff that they'd done, can you imagine watching an NFL game for 24 hours, full on? You know, some ladies are like, no, I can't even handle a minute of it, you know? But I mean, as a guy laying it all out there on the field for all this time, and you've been on this massive journey this whole time, but the Bible says God gave them victory. It says that not a man of them escaped except for 400 young men who rode on camels. So that just tells you how many people, because he's like, nobody escaped. Oh, well, there were 400. So 400 was an insignificant number compared to the massive amount of people. But they stepped forward in faith. God is using this church in a powerful way to impact this community. And as you guys come together, you can move forward in faith, and you may not be able to change every life in Indianapolis, but I can guarantee you, you're gonna continue to change many, many multiple lives. As you reach out, you're not just reaching out here, you're impacting the world. You know, there's story after story that you guys have already heard about what's going on in other parts of the world, and it's a powerful blessing that you see, man, it's overwhelming. What can we do? Well, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this, and we can keep moving forward in faith. The Bible says that they had a battle. Now, you and I, we don't battle as with flesh and blood. We battle with the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God, because Satan is going to attack you on a day-to-day basis, trying to manipulate the way you think, trying to manipulate your emotions. And so if you're founded on the Word of God, it helps stabilize that. The name of Christ, the blood of the Lamb, prayer and praise make all the difference. The cross of Christ, the finished work there, the body of Christ. We have been called to work together and be an actual member of the body. Verse 21, it says, now David came to the 200 men who had been weary, that they could not follow David, whom they had stayed there at the brook Besor. So they went out and met David to meet with the people who were with them. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Notice in verse 22, then all the wicked, worthless men, that's these 400 guys that went to battle, they began to say, you know what? These 200 guys were too wimpy, too weak. They had to stay back, and we did all the fighting. So we're not going to give them anything except their wives and kids, and then they got to get out of here. And David said, no way. He says, those people, they fought with us. They've been a part of us this whole time, and we're going to give them the same portion that we all get. And so in the context of that, that's a beautiful story in the midst of the difficult day, is how to forgive. You know, it connects back to the part of bitterness, but it's saying, you know what? People maybe didn't step up and help you when you were in your difficult time. Don't hold a grudge against them. You know, one of the things that's very difficult in being a pastor is that people will hold grudges against you over and over and over again. And it's hard at times. You know, imagine you being responsible for all the hundreds of people that come here, and you're trying to care and you're trying to ration out your time and stuff like that. At this one church where I pastored, people got all upset because I walked by them on a Sunday morning and didn't say hi. And it's like, are you going to say hi to every single person in here? No. And then you're focused on, man, I got to try to give them the Word of God today, and this thing is burning. And then you heard about over here on this other side where this couple's about ready to get divorced, and that's burning on your heart. And then you heard about this other dilemma where this guy's lost his job. There's a lot. And so I just encourage you, friend, be merciful, pray for the church staff here, and don't hold a grudge against him or against anybody. God will move. Then we find that in the story that David takes and he rations out all of the plunder, and he begins to send it out even to people who had helped him in the past. And he just began to say, you know what? This is not all mine, and I'm going to give it out. And so step by step, all the way down from verse 26 down to the end of the chapter, point by point, he just sends out because he was generous. And so maybe you don't have a lot of money, but you can give from your time to make a difference in this place. Now, let me kind of wrap this up. Destiny Rescue goes to places to rescue kids. But in the context of where we are in Indianapolis, I'm just telling you this, in high schools, in the open air, there are people who are being trafficked right now. I'm not going to go into the details of how it happens, but it's through trickery, through manipulation, through all kinds of exploitation. It's happening. People who your kid could be sitting next to in high school. And so part of the process is you becoming educated as to the and becoming aware as to what's actually going on. So my job is bringing awareness, and then in the whole compass of Destiny Rescue is, going into places to rescue these kids out. Then there's a restoration process. We don't just, you know, the rescue isn't just the getting them out of the location. Many of these kids, you can't even put them back in their own homes. Many of these kids have no formal education. They've not been treated medically, so we make sure that kids get medical treatment, education, all kinds of treatment and care and counsel all the way around. We have restoration homes in all of our countries where kids can go there and be ministered to for a period of time until they can be reintegrated back into the culture. And reintegration is getting them a job, a skill, an education so that they can prosper with their lives without going back. So here, I'm leaving this with you right now before I pray. What can you do? You can educate yourself. You know, again, the whole thing of human trafficking is huge, and we don't want to talk about it. It's kind of like an elephant in the middle of the room. You don't want to talk about this. Let's talk about something else. But it is an issue. And so if God is laying something on your heart, there's tons of information. There's resources at the table out there, our Destiny Rescue table, where you can gain some more information. Get involved with agencies that are trying to make a difference. You know, you guys are doing an awesome, awesome work with kids here. You don't know. You do not know. Some of the kids that are walking through your doors are on the edge of being exploited. The average kid that runs away, I think it's within like 16 hours that the average kid who runs away ends up becoming exploited. It's a tragic, tragic story. But the last point I want us to think about is that together, you know, there's a lot of calls, a lot of points that we are all called to. But as a part of the body of Christ, as we link arms together, we can make a difference. And as I pray, friend, I just want to encourage you as we pray and as we sing this last song, if you're here and you're going through a difficult time, just open your heart to the Lord and say, God, I need your grace. I need your help right here in my difficult day. And I need you to come and help me. And I believe, my friend, that God will help you. And then some of us here today are just saying, you know, Lord, I want to be used. And maybe God's challenged you to step up and to say, you know what, here I am, God, send me. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your kindness and your compassion and all that you are and all that you want to do in our lives and our hearts. And I just pray, Father, right now that you would pour your Spirit out upon these friends in this room. I ask that you would pour your Spirit upon those that are struggling. God, those that might be struggling in their marriage or struggling financially or in their employment or with their health. Oh God, just come even now and pour your Spirit out upon those that are weak and weary and have been tired, God, from the battle. May you pour your Spirit upon them, oh God. Raise up this body, God, to be a mighty army for your glory. And we pray for the kids' ministry here that you would do a great supernatural work in this new season. God, pour your Spirit out in this place. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.